5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
When I had come down this hill, I had seen this creature cross the road. It would have ripped my locked door from my truck, extracted me from my vehicle, and there wouldn't have been a damn thing I could have done about it.
This thing, I got to notice in its eyes. Its eyes was real, real evil, real sinister looking. The look it was giving me.
What are you reporting?
Jesus Christ, you better... Sheriff, see ya!
Hello?
Get somebody out here.
What's going on now, sir?
That son of a bitch is about 6'9", I don't know.
Do you see him now, sir?
Yes, I'm looking right at him.
Uh-oh.
Welcome to Sasquatch Chronicles, a place where people share their encounters. Let's start the show. Welcome to the show, everyone. Thanks for being here tonight. Sunday night, what a night. Law enforcement night is what it is. I'll be bringing Dan on, who is a current law enforcement officer, and he had shared with me a trail cam video that was taken, and it's a very interesting video. We'll discuss it tonight. If you get a chance, go to SasquatchChronicles.com, and it will be underneath this episode. I'll post the video, but it's a very interesting trail cam video. And he kind of explains, you know, the videos, they only go for 5 or 10 seconds long because they're trying to catch drug runners coming through the area. And they don't want to spend time having guys go out there every week, replace SD cards. So they leave them up, have them run short. But it's very interesting. It when I look at it, some people might disagree. It kind of has an orangutan type look to it. But it had thrown the trail cam off the tree, and then it appears to be burying it with leaves. I mean, it's not concrete evidence by any means, but it's very interesting to look at. And he'll also be sharing with us some of his encounters. I'll also be welcoming Ryan to the show. Ryan is a former law enforcement officer. And, you know, it was really interesting to speak with Ryan when him and I spoke on the phone. He was talking about when you call the police department and you say you've seen Bigfoot or a UFO, what used to happen back then. You'll want to stay tuned for that. It's very, very interesting. If you've had an encounter and you'd like to be on the show, shoot me an email. My email address is wes@sasquatchchronicles.com. And again, if you get a chance, check out the website, sasquatchchronicles.com. Right around the beginning of September, we'll have merchandise up on the website. Beanies, baseball tees, t-shirts, all kinds of cool stuff. So if you get a chance, check that out. I'll let you know as soon as it becomes available. Pick yourself up something nice. It's great gear. I wear it. I actually wear it all the time. And it's not just because my laundry's not done. I actually enjoy the gear. And so if you get a chance, check that out right around September 1st. Let's jump into it tonight. I want to welcome Ryan to the show. Ryan, thanks for coming on, brother.
Sure, man. Looking forward to it.
And if you would, you know, I know you've had, you're a truck driver and, you know, ex-military, you know, you've been in law enforcement, you've done a lot of different things throughout your life. Having kind of a logical, I hate to say logical type career, what got you interested into Sasquatch?
Well, it's been a hobby of mine since I was a kid, in fact. I'm not really sure what started me. It might have been the legend of Boggy Creek when I was quite small. All that to drive in with my mother. I remember being terrified by it. And of course, there was In Search Of. And I've just had an interest in it most of my life, as well as other things of that nature, the paranormal and whatnot. As I've gotten older here, it's become more of an obsession since I've gotten to know other people interested in it. I've actually gone out and done some research in the field.
And tell us about your experiences going out there in the field. I know I'm going to be playing a roar you sent me here that you captured out there in Arizona, but if you would, just kind of talk about some of your experiences out there.
Well, like I said, I pretty recently got to go out with a fellow that invited me to go out. He has a research group in the Arizona Muggy on Rim area, and met him online 3-4 years ago. He invited me out with him to check out what he said was a hot spot, and it wound up being a hot spot. Some other researchers are in that area. It's the Tonto National Forest, near the Sitgreaves National Forest and the White River Apache area reservation of the Muggy on Rim in Arizona. And it's a forested, rocky, mountainous area, unlike a lot of people believe Arizona's all desert and cactus. Nothing like that. It's very squatchy. I hate to use that term, but it is. I only went out with them a handful of times, and due to personal differences, I will no longer go out there with them. However, it is a good spot. Our first night out, we got that audio that you're about to play. We found suspected footprints. That was in 2014. We found some footprints. Nothing worse casting because the ground's so hard and dry, but good 17, 18-inch tracks going up a steep embankment with a 5-foot spread. I was raised hunting. I used to be an avid hunter. I'm not anymore. I'm familiar with deer tracks and the normal sign of animals in the woods, and this was something to bipedal for sure. That was earlier in the day. This guy that I was with, he had all the equipment. He had the parabolic gears, the recording equipment. He was kind of a technical guru. He was good with cameras. He'd been researching the area for quite a number of years. Later that night, the first night there, we set up the recording equipment. And before we got it started, I thought I heard in the distance a roar or a yell. And it just didn't sound right to me. It sounded definitely abnormal, and I told him, hey, get that turned on. I heard something, and not even a few minutes later, it did it again. And it wasn't for a few days later after we listened to it, cleaned up and on a stereo, that we realized what we had. Now, that was right about dark that night, and the rest of the night, we didn't hear that anymore. However, we did have some strange things happen. I had set up jingle bells on fishing line all around the camp perimeter earlier in the day. Listening to the playback later the next day, we heard something playing with these jingle bells, like something was just tinkering with them. I had them set up in such a way that if something would have walked into the area, it would have, if it hadn't seen them, it would have set them off. It would have caught them around them, wrapped around them, hopefully, is what I was hoping. And we would have really heard it. But something with intelligence snuck up to them and played with them. It was funny, almost like a kid playing with them. We heard it later. I didn't hear it that night, even with the parabolic gears. We had footsteps in and around the campsite in the thick brush, just out of sight, out of the campfire. That first night, that was pretty much it. And I'll tell you, when the sun goes down in the Muggy on Rim, the whole environment changes. It gets scary. And as I said, I was an avid hunter years ago. I no longer hunt, but I love the woods, and I'm good in the woods. I've always had good instincts. There was an uneasiness out there, like being watched or, you know, just a guttural fear I had. And I didn't feel comfortable leaving the campsite. And for me, being prior military and former law enforcement, you know, I take pride in having guts. And that changes out there, really did, especially with all I know anymore from the research I've done. But anyhow, that was the first night out there. Now, the last time we were out was just this past May, and we had an interesting event take place. We didn't hear any yells or roars, but we heard twice through the night, at midnight, we heard an infant screaming and wailing. Like an infant. I don't mean a toddler. I mean like a one-month-old baby. And anybody that has kids knows what a colicky baby sounds like. Now, there's people that camp in the area, and I wouldn't put it past somebody to take their kid out there. But it was cold out. It wasn't really camping weather. And plus, we had the parabolic ears. We could not hear any other voices or a mother trying to chew her child. It was eerie. And not only that, it seemed to move through the trees from one direction out above us and then behind us within a matter of 2 minutes. Now, we heard that at midnight, and then we heard it about 3 in the morning, and it went on each time for a few minutes each time. Now, it was about 3 in the morning when it seemed to move around us, and I don't think it was a bait. But it sounded just like a bait.
That's interesting.
And I've read stories where other researchers have said they mimic children and infants. Now, I know cougars and bobcats can make a sound like a baby, but this was identical to it. You asked what else we found out there. We found the track. We found what looked like there was a boulder that tipped up above where the campsite was, way up on the ridge that I found earlier in the day with moss on it. And you could just see the impression of about a 3-foot round sheet where something has been wearing that moss off, sitting there watching down there at the valley. And that was right above where we saw them tracks going up the steep embankment with 5-foot spread. You know, I'm speculating, and I can't say for sure, but it leads a lot to the imagination. The sightings that have been in that area, some of the documented sightings of a very large creature.
That whole area is pretty well known for being a hot spot. Let me play this roar. I want to get your take on what was going through your head when you heard this. Here's the roar. And it's looped 5 times. What was going through your mind when you heard that?
When I first heard it, before we turned on the parabolic gear, like I said, we were just getting camped, or we were just getting set up to start recording. I heard it with my ear, and it was pretty far off, and I knew it was something odd, but I wasn't sure what I heard. And we turned on the recorder, and we got it the second time it did it. And it wasn't for a few days after, when he had listened to it on his equipment at home, and then he sent it to me, and I put earbuds on and really got a good listen to it. And it sounded to me, at that time, my jaw about hit the floor, because at first it sounds like a person starting to yell, but then it gets so deep at the end of it that there's no way a man could do that. Somebody with very large lung capacity, you know, I can't say for sure what it is, but I can say I don't believe it's a human, and I know it's not a bear. And, of course, we had it sent off to another individual. I don't know if we can say them on the air or not. You know who I'm talking about, who put the spectrogram to it and compared it to other.
Who's that?
David Ellis with the Olympic Project.
Oh, yeah, David. Yeah, David's really good. That's who I send my stuff to, is David Ellis over at the Olympic Project.
Well, that's who looped that and cleaned it up the second time. Now, the guy that I was going out there with, he did it with his equipment, but he wasn't convinced of anything. I talked to a mutual friend of David Ellis's that's friends with me on Facebook, and her name's Julie. She sent it on to David Ellis, and then he gave it the works. He put the spectrogram to it and compared it to other known animals. And well, you read the email I think that he sent me. He felt that it definitely was of interest, and it matched other suspected Sasquatch sounds that they had on file. And it didn't match up to any known animals in a spectrogram way. And I'm not a spectrogram guy. I really don't know much about all that as far as the decibels and where it's at. But
yeah, basically what he's saying is if there's like a bear has a certain signature, a wolf has a certain signature, and he's got a library of all the animals, he'll come back and tell you, yeah, that was a bear, that was a wolf, or he'll come back and tell you he doesn't know. But he actually uses a library of sounds.
Right, exactly. And he sent me that information, and I reviewed it. I was happy with it. I know it's not concrete evidence, but to me it is. And you know, being my first night out with some, with a real researcher, I was happy with it. So that's what your listeners would like.
Yeah, no, I hope they do. I enjoyed listening to it. Why do you think they're in the area? Why do you think that they're in that particular area?
Well, my personal opinion on it, and though I just recently got to go to the field, I've been into this subject for a long time, and I've read a lot about it, and I've listened to a lot of eyewitness encounters, even before I started listening to your show. And my guess is that there's a lot of them, and they're everywhere. And I think there's different types. And looking back in hindsight, as a kid growing up hunting in western Pennsylvania, I look back on some incidents that happened at that time that I didn't know at the time was Sasquatch activity, and I think now they were. Everything from stick structures to the voices you can't make out just over the ridge line and areas I hunted in for years that I knew everybody that hunted there. Usually when there was people down the ridge or at the hunting camp and I was up on the mountain, you could hear what they were saying. So I've had that happen a few times. Marvelous, fantastic stick structures where logs were balanced on each other and saplings were twisted together and bent over. I remember coming across that a few times as a younger man, thinking, how did somebody do this? Now, there hadn't been men up here doing this, and I knew full well they didn't. Now, all these years later, knowing what I know, I just think they're everywhere, Wes, and, you know, a lot of places. And anywhere that's thick, anywhere that provides good cover, where it's not easily accessible by man, I think they're there.
Yeah, I would tend to agree. I think there's a lot more of them out there than most people realize. A lot of researchers will tell you they think that there's a limited amount. I don't think there's a limited amount. And I don't think that, well, I got to be careful what I say there. I think if you go looking, you may end up finding them or finding evidence of them.
Now, being a truck driver over the road, I've got my camera at the ready, and I hope I have an encounter. And I hope it's while I'm sitting in the seat and it's outside.
yeah.
But you know how it is. From what I hear, the sightings are usually when you least expect it. But, well, I did want to add one thing that people might find interesting, and that's about the government and their knowledge. Now, you know, I was in law enforcement, and this was back in the early 90s. And I spent 6 years. It was a promising career, and I got tired of it and decided I didn't want to do it. But during that six-year tenure, I was a member of the Pennsylvania State Police, and I was a trooper. And at every barracks I was at, on the console at the PCO desk where I had to work as a trooper, desk duty, we all did, with a civilian PCO, maybe one night a week. I got injured at one point, was on it for weeks. And there's amongst all the phone numbers, all the government numbers, the tow truck numbers, the ambulance, the governor's office, out on the right-hand side of every barracks I was at, three different barracks as I know for sure, because I looked, there's the Bigfoot UFO hotline. And when you're in a career like that, even though I've always been interested in this subject, I didn't talk about these subjects back then because it was a sure-way ticket to a shrink and career suicide. But I asked at least one or two older troopers about that number, and of course they smirked and laughed, and well, that's the number you give to the kooks when they call, and it's pretty much the answer to that. My curiosity got the best of me one night. I called the number, and sure enough, it was an automated recording asking me my name, my information, and a narrative of my encounter, or whatever it is I was calling in for. Of course, I didn't have one, and I hung up on it. And later I used my credentials and I called the phone company. And of course, in the performance of duties, if you were investigating harassment calls or anything like that, you could get the phone company at that time to trace a number. And I had them research the number, and it went, if memory serves me right, it's been 30 years, it went either to the Department of Agriculture or the Department of the Interior in Washington, D.C.
Well, that's interesting.
Yes, and now, is that number still at all them barracks? My guess is it is. Now, with the internet and things have changed, it's been 30 years, I'm sure their whole systems have changed. But that number was in at least three barracks, so that tells me it was in all of them. And there's a barracks per county, every county in Pennsylvania. So, I've always found that intriguing, and that's just a little more evidence to me that the government knows what's going on.
Yeah, I have no doubt that they do. I agree with you 100%.
Anyhow, I thought you guys would like hearing about that.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you sharing that with us. You know, that's something to where you don't hear that too often, but it doesn't shock me, really, to be honest with you. It doesn't shock me. I mean, I've talked to tribal police on reservations, and whenever there's strange UFO or Sasquatch-related, they have a special number. They've told me they have a special number to call, and then those people deal with it. But if you ask them who it is, no one seems to know who it is. That's not the first time I've heard that. It's mainly on the tribal lands I've heard that before.
Right. But that's pretty much it for me. The older I get, the more of an obsession it becomes for me. You know, I have my page on Facebook, and I'm trying to work on a website right now. I can get the money up to do that. And I'm very intrigued by it. I love it. It's a hobby. And I hope to get out there more sometime.
What's your Facebook page?
Well, I have a group called Club of Secrets. In fact, you're on there. You just don't look at it. I cover everything. Everything from Bigfoot to the paranormal and government conspiracies. Just a hobby of mine.
And is it open? Can anyone go check it out, or do you got to join?
It's a closed group, and if you're a member, you can add anybody. You're on there. You're an added member, so.
Yeah.
Just look it up under my name, Club of Secrets. It's a closed group. Yeah, you have to be added.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it, and I appreciate you coming on, Ryan. I know you're driving right now, and you're busy. I appreciate you taking the time out of your day to come on the show and share the sound with us and share the experiences. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. I appreciate your show and all the witnesses that call in. I love it. It's very worthwhile, and you do us all a service. Thank you.
Thanks, brother.
All right, man. Take it easy.
Next up on the show, I want to welcome Dan. Dan is in law enforcement, so if you hear the radio in the background, he's actually multitasking at the moment. So if you need to break away, Dan, just let me know. Obviously, it's more important than our conversation if some emergency should come up. But if you would kind of start from the beginning, I know you've had experiences, and I took some time and really looked at the video you sent me, and I was really interested by that. Where did you kind of want to start with this, with the audience? Did you want to start with your encounters?
Sure. I mean, most of my stuff comes from guys that I've talked to or friends of mine, just in passing. Kind of in our field, it's kind of taboo. So getting guys to talk to you a little bit, I'm pretty impressed with the amount of guys and police officers you've had on. Maybe if we start with the newest episode with my buddy out of Georgia.
Yeah, let's start there. What? Tell us about that incident. Walk us into it.
Right. So in a nutshell, you know, people know that I believe in Bigfoot, et cetera. So every once in a while I get, a post or a Bigfoot shows up on my Facebook or something like that. And I've known this guy for like 30 years. Well, he hits me up on the phone. And he says, hey, what's up with the Facebook thing? Is that a joke about Bigfoot? I'm like, nah, I think it's a real creature. And then he proceeds to tell me that last year he's out hunting in Georgia. And he says he thinks he sees a bear walking along the tree lines. And he says he brings up his rifle, which is scoped. I think he said it's 3x9. And he said that he was blown away. He said there's no question. He said it's like 7 to 8 foot Sasquatch walking along the tree line. That was like it in a nutshell. He said there's no doubt. And he said it's I know they exist. Is his quote.
Did he describe the creature to you?
Yeah, he said it was a brownish kind of bear color. And other than the height and big, you know, I didn't really dig into it a whole lot. I just kind of acknowledged it and talked a little bit to him about it, some of the things that I've heard, etc. Pretty simplistic. But, I mean, that's pretty credible evidence. I mean, he said he's looking through a 3x9 at something that no doubt is a Sasquatch. I could hit him up and probably try and gather some more details, maybe about like the face or et cetera.
And that's interesting. Did he believe in Sasquatch prior to that?
I don't think he actually believed in it. I mean, he's open-minded and he's been a hunter all his life, et cetera. The way he tested the water with me, I mean, I've known this guy for 30 years. We've hunted together a ton of times. I mean, obviously he lives in Georgia. But for him to test the water like that tells me that, you know, he probably hadn't told anyone else, and he was probably pretty unsure about the subject before telling me. So I think he's open-minded, but I don't think he was, quote, you know, knew it existed until then. I mean, he flat told me then. He's, I know they exist.
And I know you spent some time as a game warden too, as well, prior to getting into law enforcement. Most people may not know your background, but this isn't your first rodeo out in the woods. And you had come across some very interesting footage. Can you talk about that? Where did you come across it? And what did you think it was when you saw it? Kind of what's the story behind the video?
Yeah, the nutshell is that I have a friend that I had assigned to a federal task force. He had a buddy who had been assigned to some gorilla groves in Northern California. And a gorilla grove is where the cartels really grow marijuana and the furthest reach of the forest, you know, the further away from civilization, the better. So they go undiscovered. Well, these guys had gone in about 27 miles, I think 22 by quad and then the rest by foot, and put up trail cameras to try and capture some of this cartel coming in and out tending their gardens. And ultimately, when he retrieved the camera, he said when he found it, it was off the tree. You can figure out how that happened. But then he played the video. He said he was absolutely shocked and that he didn't know what to make of it. Well, they brought it to me, and I looked at it, and I thought that, you know, it's not conclusive, but it sure definitely looks like some type of bipedal animal. I mean, you've got an arm, you've got a leg. I think you can see a hand at some point. The hair looks really coarse, but the structure's not right for a bear. Unfortunately, it's a pretty short clip. I think he had it set on probably about 10 seconds because obviously they want these cameras. They're not going to trek that far back in, you know, every other week to check them. So they have them set on short clips.
Yeah, it was interesting when I was looking at it. It didn't look like what it reminded me of. I probably watched it 100 times last night. I slowed it down. I'll put it up on the website. But what was interesting is it really reminded me of an orangutan sitting there throwing leaves almost on top of the camera. Is that kind of what you thought you saw?
It looks to me like it's purposely placed the camera in the leaf pile and is grabbing a handful of leaves and putting it over top of the camera. It looks like it's an intelligent attempt to conceal the trail cam. And I don't know what could do that. I don't know what could reach up and rip it off the tree. It definitely looks to me like it's standing bipedally. The structure of the arm, et cetera, doesn't look anything like a bear to me. I mean, it's just the bend is wrong.
Yeah, the bend is wrong. The color's wrong. The hair's wrong. And if that's a suit, that's one hell of a suit.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I tried to slow it down a little bit, but it looks like the hair thins out in the abdominal region and is pretty uniform throughout the arm, but kind of like a coarse. Were you able to see the hand or the thumb at one point?
I did. Yeah.
Does that look like a hand to you?
Yeah. It did. It definitely looked like a hand. Remind me of a orangutan, really. You know, orangutans have hands very similar to ours. And that's really what I thought when I first saw it. I was like, well, that's kind of weird. But then you hear about where it's at, and you're like, I don't think orangutan's going to survive out there. If you don't believe in Bigfoot, I guess orangutan's the only other explanation. What got you interested in this whole topic? What really piqued your interest in it?
I'd have to say it goes probably way back to the Patterson, the Patty film. As a kid, I mean, seeing that and then being a, you know, lifetime hunter, fisher, et cetera, I've always kind of had a curiosity about the unknown and specifically Bigfoot, just because it's a mystery. And, you know, obviously that's kind of the thing I like to do based on what I do is to dive in and try and solve mysteries. So I'm just intrigued by it. And, you know, I the evidence, I like doing the research, I like putting things together and, you know, formulating what I think. I don't have any doubt. I mean, I've never seen one, but that's what I do. I put together pieces of the pie, you know, crime scenes, et cetera. And, you know, we weigh the evidence. And to me, there's absolutely no doubt that Sasquatch exists. I mean, we take people to trial and convict them of murder on less evidence. And yet we're going to say that with all this evidence that it's not a proven animal. It's just, to me, it's ludicrous.
Yeah, I'm kind of glad you said that. And I was talking to a skeptic the other day, and I don't mind skeptics at all, but I was talking to a skeptic the other day, and I said, just take 3 months and look into this. And if after 3 months you're convinced this is all BS, I'll accept what you have to say. But just take 3 months, give it an honest shake, and go out there, look at some of these track casts, listen to some of the eyewitnesses, and come back and tell me what you think. And after 3 months, he came back and he said, you know what, I think it probably exists now. He goes, I thought it was a joke before, but I didn't realize the amount of evidence that is actually out there. And I know you yourself have heard tree knocks and footsteps, and you've experienced the fear. Was that when you were out hunting?
No, I had gone on an expedition with a group, and the first night I was there, two big, wide stride, heavy footsteps outside the tent. And I mean, I can't say for sure what it was, but I mean, you know, we're humans. We know what people sound like. We know what bipedal sounds like when we walk, and, you know, especially hunters, that's, you know, we gauge animals with what's coming, you know. It's how you tell for the most part, by listening to the pattern of the step or et cetera. And it was obviously, to me, something big, heavy, and bipedal. Later that morning, or in the next morning, I went out there and there were two big impressions, but it only looked like the heel was there. No toes, nothing else discernible. And the next night was a massive tree knock. I mean, it sounded like, Will Clark had let loose on a tree.
Yeah,
it was just insane. I mean, I've heard a lot of people, you know, hit trees. I've hit trees with something, but I've never heard anything like that. I mean, it was a massive crack. And then there was a secondary, probably 100 yards away, that was that seemed like to be a reply to that. We had gone out on a night hike, and three of us had broken away from the group. And I'm pretty confident in the woods. I mean, I've been out at night many a time, going to my, tree stand at O'Dark 30. That doesn't really faze me. And I've been in a lot of hairy situations. I mean, I've been doing search warrants in the house with homicide suspects with the SWAT team. And I've never experienced fear like that. I had to do combat breathing to reel myself in, and I have no idea. I mean, I was just walking through the forest, everything was cool, we're just looking around, and then all of a sudden, just this overwhelming fear. I mean, I wanted to run. I've never experienced anything like that in my life. Honestly, until I listened to your show, started listening to people describe that over and over again, I didn't put two and two together. I just kind of thought, you know, I freaked myself out. But after listening to you and other people talk about it, it started making sense as to why. And it was just crazy. Insane fear for no reason.
Yeah, and that fear is really hard to describe to someone that hasn't experienced it. You know, I've had guys on the show that have been in combat and had, you know, bullets flying past their head, and they say the fear that they experienced, what you're talking about, Dan, is compare that to battle. They'll take shots flying over their head any day of the week and twice on Sunday compared to what they experienced. And I've been trying to look into that and try and figure out what is causing that. What is causing this deep, scary fear to hit us? Because you hear a lot of people experience that. I mean, I've had some of the biggest, baddest guys on the planet on the show, and they'll break down in tears because they were out there. They had overwhelming fear. They couldn't explain it. And all they wanted to do is run. And I don't think a lot of these guys, I don't think they've ever run from anything ever in their life.
Yeah, I don't. I've been a SWAT team for 16 years. I've done many and many entries for bad guys. I've been shot at. I've had rounds fly past my head. Nothing even close. I mean, not combat. What those guys do in combat is totally different. I mean, I can't even imagine that. But I've been in the oh shit moments numerous times in my life, and nothing even close to that. I mean, yeah, I was scared when rounds are flying by and stuff. I was definitely concerned, but it wasn't like this. I just want to get up and run. Not even close.
What happened to your dad?
He was he was up around Silver Lake, which is the El Dorado National Forest off Highway 88. And he's a lifetime hunter fisher. That's where I got it from. I mean, he spent hours and hours in the woods. And he's one of those old school guys. I mean, I've never seen him really be afraid of anything. But he told me he was walking down a trail at night. I don't know if he was going to take a leak or what he was going to do. But he said something in the middle of the trail. He said he could see a big shadow. And he said he made the noise. And he more like, ooh. He said it did that twice at him. And he said he felt it shake his insides. He said it scared the absolute crap out of him. And he turned and burned. He said he ran away. So he didn't know what it was, had no idea. He wasn't closed-minded. We talked about, you know, possibility of Sasquatch or whatever. I mean, he'd never confirm or anything like that. But he's like, I don't know what it was, but it's something I've never experienced before. He said it scared me. And he was armed at the time. I knew he had a gun on his hip, et cetera, and they're hunting. And for him to turn and burn, I mean, that's quite a bit.
Yeah, that is quite a bit. And I've always wondered about that grunting, too. I'm starting to think that grunting sound is more or less a I'm here, not necessarily an aggressive type, even though it feels aggressive when they do it. But I'm starting to think maybe that's not so much aggressive, more like I'm here, you're there. We recognize each other. And again, I could be completely wrong. But just from listening to witnesses, that's the first thing I have started to realize a little bit with that grunting. You had a friend of yours who's also in law enforcement that had a gold claim. What happened with that?
So they're up in Trinity. He was up there for a while as an officer, and he was working a claim. That's one of his hobbies. So I guess they're 7 to 10 miles back into some area, and they were working a pool. And he said the pool was pretty deep and it had a big rock overhang. He said they had experienced some screams that they'd never heard anything like it before. He said he could feel it, but he said they chalked it up to, you know, kids or they didn't know. He said they didn't really concern themselves, went on doing their job. And he said he was underwater working the dredge. And he said that a big boulder came bombing down into the pool. Obviously, when it hit the water, it got his attention. He said he saw it come floating down. He said it was pretty good size, like basketball size. And he said it was probably thrown 30 feet away from the ledge. I don't think he really believes in Sasquatch. I mean, I think he just kind of doesn't really think about it. But I kind of started mapping it out to him. I'm like, you know, hey, you're 7 to 10 miles in from nowhere. What are some kids going to be doing out there? You haven't seen anyone for days. You hear screams beforehand, and then you have a massive boulder. I don't know how much something like that would weigh, but, you know, flies 30 feet off of the overhang out into the area we're at and hits the water. But, I mean, it could be someone back in there playing games, but to me, that kind of points in one direction.
And that's an interesting encounter, too, because you hear that a lot. I just had an encounter sent to me, these guys going down a river, and they were getting basketball-sized rocks thrown at them. So he decided to start up the boat, take off, and the creature stepped out and chased them. And he said, you know, we were doing like 30 miles an hour down this river, and it was following us on the shoreline, no problem keeping up with us. And so it's scary, man. Some of the things that they do is terrifying. I wanted to ask you about your friend out there in California, and he was telling you about an encounter he had when he was riding his motorcycle.
Yeah, let's see. I will call him Dave. So Dave also is in law enforcement, and I guess he's around 12 years old in the Quincy area. He said he was riding his motorcycle on some back logging road, and he said that, he just put it bluntly. He said, I know the real Bigfoot ran down. I guess it was like a 30-foot embankment on both sides, so the road had been curved through the mountain, but he said it ran down the embankment, crossed the road in like one step, and then up the other side and out of view. And he said there was no question. So I didn't think it was a bear. I knew that it was a Bigfoot. There was no question.
Yeah, and usually that's how some of these encounters happen. They're usually really quick like that, but they are life changing. Do you work rural areas?
You know, I have
now as an officer.
Yeah, I have rural areas, but I'm not in mountainous terrain. I mean, we have a small mountain range in our county, but other than that, it's mainly wooded river bottoms areas, things like that. So we don't get any experiences down here as far as possible Bigfoot or anything like that.
When you were a game warden, did you ever come across anything strange?
I came across a lot of stuff strange, but as far as Bigfoot, I would say the only thing that I ever really investigated that gave me some pause was that one time I took where a horse had been killed. They were thinking a mountain lion, but man, it was a big horse. They moved it before I got there, so I didn't get a chance to see it, but just, I don't know. I guess it's possible a mountain lion can take down a horse. I'm sure they can, but just didn't seem right to me. Other than that, yeah, lots of crazy stuff, but nothing, you know, I never heard anyone talk about Bigfoot. Actually, I think the wardens, you know, to be truthful, I think they're still, they don't want to talk about it. It's still taboo amongst them, because I still hunt with a lot of my game warden buddies, and, you know, I still catch a lot of flack from them about Bigfoot. And you would think that those guys that are out there enough would experience stuff or be more open-minded, but I think maybe it's got a taboo within the agency, and so they're afraid to talk about it if they do have an experience.
Yeah, being in law enforcement, why do you think it's so taboo? You know, sometimes I'll talk to police officers. One that comes to mind is the Georgia cast that was taken by the cop. And he was so bent out of shape going out there, he thought these people were crazy. They're talking about monkeys banging on their home. He was just irritated going out there every time until he actually decided to start taking a look around. And he's one that casted the Elkins Creek cast. It's one of the most famous casts out there because it has dermal ridges in it. But prior to that, it was taboo. It was, you know, it was a pain in the butt. He didn't want to go out and have to deal with it. Why do you think that is?
Yeah, I don't know. I think across society in general, anything that's unknown or anything that is foreign and that society has named as hoax or mythical or something like that, they're afraid to be abnormal. I mean, because it's out. I take heat all the time. I mean, people always joke about it, but when I put the screws to them and lay out some facts, and then I ask them, you know, tell me you think that those things, how did those things, you know, play out? Explain that to me. I think they kind of come away from it a little less thinking it's taboo. I think it's from lack of knowledge. I truthfully think they don't look into it, and so they're ignorant of the situation, and so they just make fun of it because we make fun of what we don't know, of the unknown. As far as cops, I don't think it's, I don't know, maybe because they're supposed to be bigger, tougher, and all-knowing. I don't know. It definitely seems like it's more taboo in those circles, though.
Yeah, it's interesting, though. It's you'd be shocked how many cops listen to the show. I was shocked. I get emails all the time from cops that listen to the show. And so I think even with all the jokes and all the smirks and all of the everything else out there, a lot of those guys like to listen to the show. They're intrigued by it, which is a good thing. And I wish more police officers did listen to the show, because sometimes when they go out to these rural areas and you run into a situation that just doesn't make sense for it to be a person, you know, it's nice to go, well, maybe it's this, you know, or maybe it's that, or maybe it could be a Sasquatch, you know, what's really going on out here. But if you don't have, if you're not open to any of that, then it's nothing.
Right. Trying to force a, you know, square peg in a round hole.
Yeah.
When I was out on that one event, the night that I got freaked out, really scared, I saw a white light out there, and it was like a soft glow, and I still can't explain it. And so I don't know if it's tied at all these things. I have no idea. It was just really weird. It looked like they have basketball size. And it was like a really soft glow, like if someone had put a flashlight under a sheet or something like that. But there was no camps there, no nothing. And I watched it for quite a while, and until I just like, well, I'm not walking over there. There's no way that's happening. So I just walked out. Just odd, food for thought, I guess.
Yeah, no, it is food for thought. It is something, that's the other thing, you know, Sasquatch aside, I think people run into those lights. And I always kind of thought BS on the lights until I seen them myself. And exactly how you describe them, Dan, is exactly what we saw. It's almost like a real soft ambient. It's a hard light to describe. It's not like a flashlight. It's not it's not really a big bright light. I mean, it is a bright light, but it's not. You know what I mean? It's more ambient color. I don't know what those things are. The only advice I'd give you on those is I know Woody and I decided to chase one night, and it ended up chasing us back, and there was more than one that chased us back. And it scared the hell out of us. And to this day, I couldn't tell you what it was. It wasn't, you know, the size of a basketball, maybe soccer ball, something like that. Just kind of floating around out there. And I was in the same boat as you. There was no campers down there. There was no fires. There was no homes. It wasn't a car. It was just this round light just kind of chilling in the forest. And it creeped me out. It really creeped me out.
Yeah, I was concerned. I mean, I ran a bunch of stuff through my head thinking, all right, is this like some, say, panic cold out in the middle of the, you know, the forest here, and they're going to sacrifice someone? Or right. I didn't see any movement around it other than just this glow. It was odd, weird.
And I've been trying to look into those too, but it's hard to come up with information. Now, the night that you took off running, that you were in fear, was that the same night you saw the light?
Yeah, I didn't run.
Or you felt like running?
Yeah, I wanted to run. Yeah, you know, but I knew that if you run, that's prey instinct, and I was, you know, I hadn't listened to your show yet, so I didn't know they were could be as violent as they could be, but I definitely knew I didn't want to run. So I just stayed in place until I could gather myself, which took about a minute of combat breathing to pull it back in. But it was like nothing I've ever experienced.
Well, hopefully other people come forward and talk about the lights too as well. You know, through all your research and everything, and looking into this, what do you think Sasquatch is, Dan?
Ancient hominid? I don't know. I think it's been around for a long time. It dates too far back to you know, be some spaceship teleporting creature or something. I think it's something indigenous here. Maybe came across the land bridge at some point. Maybe related to Blackie. I don't know. I definitely think it's flesh and blood.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. It's so hard to say what it is, but I tend to agree with you on that. You know, I think it's flesh and blood, and people need to be aware when they're out there because, you know, there's always been this. For the longest time, ever since the Patterson-Gimlin film came out, I've noticed people would talk about them as being, you know, the friendly forest giant. And I can tell you that's not always the case. Now, are they always godless killing machines ready to slaughter anyone they get their hands on? I don't believe that. But I think that if you do cross one on a bad day, they, you know, just like a cougar, just like a bear, just like anything else, they're going to come and teach you a lesson.
Yeah, up until your show, I mean, I was of that mindset. You know, I never thought, you know, I thought they were big and, you know, ominous looking, but I never knew of the propensity for violence and things like that. I mean, obviously a wild animal, but I'll tell you what, after listening to your show and some of the encounters, I definitely checked my six a whole lot more than I did before. And I'm thinking about upgrading my side cannon from a 40 to something else. Not that I, you know, want to shoot one or even want to see one, but, you know, I'll be honest, I'm concerned, yeah. I'm definitely going to be thinking about it when I'm out on my next hunt.
Well, stay in contact with me, will you? And let me know if you come across anything else strange. I mean, even if it's strange lights, I don't know how much time you have. I know you're working right now, and we can go into this another time, but when you're a game warden, Sasquatch related or not, what's like the weirdest thing you ran into while you were out there?
Probably not for your podcast. I mean, if you want me to tell you what the strangest thing I actually ran into, I can tell you, but it was a guy, this guy had hauled out a garbage can, filled it with styrofoam, drilled a hole in it, wedged it between his truck tire, and was proceeding to have at the garbage can hole.
And was proceeding to do what?
He was screwing the garbage can that was wedged between his tire and his truck's fender flare.
Wow.
a lot of stuff crazy like that. You know, I was on a night flight one night, and I again called away for a possible spotlighter. And when I returned to where I was sitting, I parked, and there were some wires going up from underneath my truck. So I thought, man, maybe someone put a bomb down here or something. Someone had put a butt plug there. So I don't know if I scared them off. They had pulled in there and took off when I was coming up the hill, but there was a butt plug that was still vibrating on the ground underneath my truck. And I'm out in the middle of sticks. Most of the stuff is like weird stuff is sexually related. I did have an experience up in, I was near an Indian burial ground, and we were doing a night flight as well. And I started hearing things. You know, I was seeing like shadows move from rock to rock. I kind of got freaked out on that. That one was a little creepy. I was thinking I was hearing like whispers and voices in the distance. That was pretty freaky.
You never know what you're going to run out there. I always tell people, you know, it's I think a lot of people, because I don't go too much into the paranormal on the show, they think I don't believe in it. But that's anything beyond what I actually believe. I do believe that goes on. Mm-hmm. And I think it's sometimes in those areas, you know, beyond even just paranormal stuff, you run into crazy nut jobs. I mean, who, you know, screws a garbage can in the middle of the way? You know what I mean? That's automatic handcuffs, and let's do a drug test on you real quick and just see what's in your system. Yeah, I would imagine you run into some of those types. And the other thing too is, you know, I've come across poachers in the woods, and I thought, thank God I'm not a game warden, because I kind of think these guys might kill a game warden if they come across one. So you just never know who you run into. And it's like I used to always tell my kids, the type of person you run into at 1 o'clock in the afternoon is completely different than the type of person you'll run into at 1 a.m night and day, for whatever reason. And so, you know, out there in the woods, you just never know what you're going to run into or what you're going to...
That's a chess match. And I'll be honest, my time as a game warden was much more airy than even, you know, my years on SWAT. The sniper, you know, I've never done anything here that is as hinky as be a warden, because you're in the middle of the sticks at night. No one knows where you're at. Back in the old days, I was down in Rancho Cucamonga, and on the weekends and after five, I would talk to Sacramento, would be my dispatch. And so I would say, you know, 5311, I'll be out with five subjects with the rifles at this location. And the dispatch would come back and say, 10-4, what county is that in? So, you know, there's no help. You know, there's no cavalry. You're it.
Yeah, you're on your own. Yeah.
Yeah. So your officer safety and your ability to read people and figure out what's up, you know, either evolve or you die.
Well, thank you for your service, and thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing it. You know, it's I'd love to sit down with a beer with you sometime and just talk about some of the different things you run into out there, you know, beyond Sasquatch. And that's a warning I always give people, you know, it's go out armed. Just because you never know who you're going to run into, you never know what you're going to run into, especially out in those woods. And you know this firsthand, you're out there, you're on your own. I mean, most of the places I go, there is no cell phone service. There is no 911. So you come across some crazy guy, you know, it could potentially be a battle out there in the woods, and no one's going to know about it for a couple hours.
Oh, there's predators, just like in the animal kingdom. And obviously we're animals too, but there are absolutely predators that look for those type of situations, that run those back roads, that are waiting for that broken down, you know, girl or guy or whatever, and just are deviants. I mean, there are very sick people in this world, and they're just waiting for that opportunity. So yeah, you're absolutely right. Yeah. I pack no matter where I go, because I don't want to have and not so much for myself, but for the protection of others. I don't want to have to say that, you know, yeah, I was at the mall or wherever where, you know, 30 people got shot up, but I was too lazy to bring my gun. So, you know, I had to stand there and watch versus stop it. So for me, that's the motivation.
Yeah. Well, definitely. And keep in touch with me on the show, and let me know if you ever do you come across anything in the future, just when you're out, or if you get an interesting call, let me know, will you? I'd love to hear about it.
Yeah, no problem. I'll reach out to some hail guys and see if I can't get them to give something up.
I appreciate that, man. Thanks so much, Dan, for coming on.
All right, Wes.
And that's it for tonight, everyone. Remember, if you've had an encounter and you'd like to be on the show, shoot me an email, wes@sasquatchchronicles.com. Please go check out the website, become a member, sasquatchchronicles.com. You get additional shows and look for merchandise right around the beginning of September. Have a good night, everyone. I'll see you next time.
So I put my spiel a little wiser.